You're listening to the Dealmaker Podcast, hosted by multi-millionaire property investor, entrepreneur, and Guinness World Record holder, Liam Ryan. Discover how to start, scale, and grow your business. Become a better negotiator, create more opportunity, and make massive profit so you can live the life of your dreams.
Thank you for tuning in to the Action Ambition Podcast. I'm Philip Llanos, and today we're here with Liam J. Ryan. He's an entrepreneur, property investor, a mentor, and an international speaker. Liam, welcome to the show.
Man, I'm so excited. Thanks for having me on. Really looking forward to connecting with you and the audience and
giving
some inspiration, right?
Yeah, you know, it's towards the end of the year here, Q4, right? And it's been one heck of a ride all the way through. And entrepreneurship is something that was really put into the spotlight in terms for people, in terms of like, just prior to this, there was a lot of people who were like, I'm an entrepreneur, you know, and everybody was a quote unquote entrepreneur. And now the real entrepreneurs are on the stage, because when times get hard, like they have, right, the real ones step up. So because you're a serial entrepreneur, I think it's a great opportunity to really dive into what the mindset of an actual entrepreneur is, because not only are you out there building businesses, but you invest in property, you know, you mentor people and you speak publicly. So internationally even. So I got to ask, did you always see yourself as an entrepreneur, even when you were younger?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. And, you know, the last 12, 18 months have been challenging for a lot of people. And you're absolutely right. You know, the real entrepreneur has really stepped up and upped their games. And, you know, over this period, I've just created even more content, made it my mission to go and inspire even more people. So I've always had that entrepreneurial bug ever since I can remember. Now, at the time, I didn't know it was the entrepreneurial bug. All I remember was wanting to, even at the age of 7 and 8, I set up my first type of business. I was the kid in the playground that would be selling you the sweets and selling you the crisps. And I would go and find He-Man figures and I would trade like action figures. And I got a real buzz from like finding stuff cheap or just stuff I had in my house and then selling it to someone, making this thing in the middle called profit, and then also seeing the joy in other people's faces. So that's really where entrepreneurial started for me. And that then led into high school. I come from a poor background. You know, we lived on council estates. It was really quite hard to see my mum go through a lot of pain, just trying to feed us as kids, right? And I was always that kid at school that would have like holes in my shoes and hand-me-down clothes. And one of my first ever memories was sitting in a dark, cold room, and there was this street light outside, and I had this blanket around me that was really itchy on my neck, and I was there with my mum and my two-year-old brother. And we were sharing a tin of spaghetti cold bolognese out of a can. And somewhere subconsciously, it was like, I'm going to be a millionaire. Like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to protect my mum and my brother. Like, I don't want this for us. So as I went into secondary school, my mum introduced me to a good friend of hers called Tim. And he was a market trader. So at the weekends, I used to hang around with Tim. You know, I'm like 11, 12. And he used to have this big lorry. And he used to open up the lorry. And then he'd sell stuff. He'd have the headset on. And he'd be selling stuff out the back of the van. And I really learned the lingo. And I said to him one day, I said, hey, Tim, I could sell this stuff at school. So it wasn't long before I used to go to school with two bags. One was my school bag with my pens and papers, and I wasn't interested in that one. and then the other bag was like a big Reebok bag with jeans and perfumes and cigarettes. So that's really where it started for me. I got a real buzz from that. And I think trying to protect my mum and my brother, I grew up, you know, a lot sooner, you know, so I was like already felt like an adult at the age of 8, right?
Yeah, no, that hard times, you know, they make strong people. And it's really fascinating to me because sometimes people will have had that hard life, but then they fall into complacency over and over again. Like they always remember, oh, I promise. But you've been able to keep that drive alive. The promise you made to yourself was one you never broke for yourself. How do you think that's something, and you know, this is obviously an opinion here, but do you find that maybe that's more just like a personality thing than it is something that somebody can develop? Like, you know?
Yeah, it's a really good point because, hey, not everyone is as successful as they want to be. It comes down to, look, an entrepreneur for me is someone that wants to take their life into their own hands. They want to almost go against the grain of society and what we've been taught at school, because I think a lot of what we get taught just doesn't work in the real world. An entrepreneur is someone that is willing to do what other people are not willing to do. And a lot of people want to become entrepreneurs, but when it comes down to it, just some people haven't got that pure grit and determination. And a lot of people look at entrepreneurs or they look at the success, but they don't understand maybe the years of hardship and the years of becoming a master at what you do and the sacrifice and the dedication. And not everyone has got that in their blood. And this is why I believe a lot of people give up. I believe also a lot of people give up because they don't have the right support around them. They don't have the right help around them. They're not being held to a high level of accountability.
Oh.
So I think that's always important. And I've always not consciously done it when I was younger. I was just trying to survive, man. I was just like grinding it out, like survival skills. I want to prove the world wrong. But I've always found myself around successful people. And they've always helped me. They've been there in my darkest hours, and they've also been there to celebrate the wins.
Man, not enough people talk about that. Successful people are always looking to help, which is why, you know, in the beginning, we talked about how you're a mentor. I imagine that's your way of giving back any chance that you can, because, you know, that story you told, we were left off and like, yeah, you know, and I had a second bag and I was selling stuff. And then it's almost like at the end of it, we forget. Yeah. But remember what inspired that? All while you were selling that, you were still sitting there with the itchy blanket, making a promise to yourself that you'll never let your mom and your brother starve like that again, or feel that way again. And like that never left you. And most people get carried away by the story as it's happening, but you remember your origins always. And I can tell that's really what's driven you, just, and then to be able to talk about with such humility that you know, there's other people, it's not just, you know, the individual and whether or not they have the grit. To some degree, it really is that. It's also that you had good people around you. You found yourself them, and you were willing to do what it took to stay by their side and to work together and to earn their respect and continue to push forward and do everything that society said you probably weren't supposed to be able to do. And it's such a mix of interesting things that come together. It's really fascinating to see, like, I'm watching you, you know, you're very successful and we haven't even gotten into this yet, right? We're just starting with the origin story. So you're selling this, you're at these things at school. And at some point, I imagine you came in a crossroads where people were asking whether or not you were going to go to university, you know, or if you were going to pursue an alternative path. It was pretty clear, I think, to me where that went, but want to open up a little bit about that moment?
Yeah. Because we've all got a backstory, and I feel it's important to stay true to your roots. Always remember where you've come from. So I always, like, growing up inside, I never felt quite comfortable in my own skin. I always wanted to be someone else. Like, it's weird, right? Like, I remember that the head teacher's son at school, Barry. Like, I just idolized this guy, right? So I never quite felt comfortable in my skin, but I always put on a brave face. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to give everything 110%. So brave face, big smile, give it my all. I wasn't the smartest at school. I suffered with dyslexia. I passed with fairly decent grades. And then I started to go to college. And about 3 weeks into college, it was like, this isn't the life for me. And what actually happened, Philip, is that in year 11, so my last year at school, I walked into town and there was a road called Head Street. And it's quite a busy town centre street, lots of shops, but lots of stuff going on. And in the corner of my eye, I saw this yellow sign in the window. So if you can imagine this. And it had massive commissions to be made, door canvases required, 16 years and over. I thought, well, I'm only 15, but I'll blag it. So I remember going around the back of this commercial unit. I took off my school tie, my blazer. I dumped it in a dustbin, in the big dustbin round the back. I walked into this company, which was called Zenith Windows. And I was confronted by this 5'2" older gentleman, quite aggressive looking, a bit like a pit bull. And I said, I put on like a bit of a deep voice. I said, I'm here about the job in the window. And he just looked at me, slapped me on the shoulder. He said, you're in. And 5 minutes later, I'm being hurled into the back of this car with four grown-ups, given a lead sheet, and we were knocking on doors. So basically, we would knock on doors. And if I generated a lead, and then a window sales rep went round the house, as long as they gave a quotation, I would get paid 25 quid.
Whoa.
I thought, how hard could this be? So I'm out knocking on doors in the first night, no leads. I get home at 10 o'clock at night. I go back on the next night, knock on doors for 4 or 5 hours, no leads. My mum goes nuts. I'm calling the police. It's slave labor. You're not earning any money. You need a salary. I said, Mum, I've got this. Chill, right? Third night, I knock on doors and I get my first lead. And it was an immediate, which basically meant the rep went round that evening and I made my first 25 quid. And then the mind changed. It was like, if I can do it once, I can do it 1,000 times. So already before leaving school, I was making £300-400 a week as a 15-year-old, knocking on doors. And through that process, it changed my life because I learned the art of resistance, commitment, rejection, how to overcome objections, how to read people, how to build desire in literally 4 or 5 seconds. Because someone opens the door, they're going to slam it in your face. And so when I went to college, it was like I was doing the sums in my head. I was like, if I can make 400 quid a week part-time, what could I make if I do this 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days of the year? So that was it. 3 weeks in college, mate, I bailed and I was knocking on doors full time, pretty much 7 days a week.
Yeah, what an important lesson to learn. And most people don't learn that till after they've spent 4 or 5 years in college and they're like, all right, time to go out and learn these real world skills. And then, you know, by then it's too late. You took risk exactly when you needed to. How genius. And obviously you didn't stay there. At some point, more opportunities presented themselves and you found your way into founding your own companies, having enough money to invest in property, getting the gumption to begin to share with others and speaking internationally. So at what point did you look up and realize, whoa, I've created a lifestyle that's far from that cold can of bolognese?
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? It's what an incredible journey. Yeah, really from my door knocking, I then went on to doing some insurance. And then I had a really big break at the age of 20 to go and work overseas. So there I was, 20 years of age. I was living with my best mate in the UK. You know, we were partying and doing all the fun stuff that you do at the age of 20. And then I got this opportunity to work overseas. And I thought, you know what? Grab the opportunity in the moment of the opportunity. What's the worst that can go wrong? If I don't like it, I'm only 2.5 hours away on a plane. So there I was, March the 3rd, 2000.
Wow.
At Luton Airport with my mum. And my mum's like a bit of a hippie, East End London girl, crazy ass orange hair, says it how it is. And I remember being at the airport with my white Air Max on, fresh out of a box. I had my white Reebok tracksuit on. I even had the matching cap. So I was a bit chavvy back then. And I looked my mum in the eye and I said, "Mum, I said, I don't know what's on the other side here, but I'm going to become a millionaire." And then I said, "No, hang on. We're going to become millionaires. I'm going to get you off the council estate. You're going to set up your own business. Leave it with me." And I gave my mum a big hug, told her I loved her, and went on the plane. And that was a really big turning point. I worked for a company, become the top salesperson, was earning tens of thousands of pounds a month. The business partners there had a falling out a couple of years later. One of the top people in the company approached me and said, "Look, why don't you just do this on your own? We'll advise you how to do it." And there I was at the age of 22, setting up my first proper business, me and four guys. And it just grew and grew from there. We were doing lead generation. I had guys on the telephone, call centers, generating leads. And before I knew it, I had 30 guys, 50 guys, 60 guys. Fast forward a few years, I had 170 people working for me in different locations around the world, all doing lead generation. And then the moment came a couple of years in, I logged into my bank account and there it was. 1 and 6 zeros. And I was like, man, I'm like 23. And I called my mum in tears and I just said, "We've bloody done it. We've done it." And that was really the start of that. And I don't say that to show off in any way.
No, that's a huge accomplishment.
I'm an Essex boy that can't read and write properly, right? But it was just right place, right time, and taking risk.
Yeah.
You know, I talk about having skin in the game. A lot of people want the reward, but they're not willing to take any type of risk. And hey, you know, you don't have to be silly when taking risks, but sometimes you just got to put yourself in the firing line and say, "You know what? I'm going to give it a go. And if it doesn't work, then there's going to be some learning from that. And I'm sure there's always another solution."
I just love how you staked your claim just before leaving on that plane and you didn't turn back. You didn't look back. It was all like, "I know exactly where I'm going, why I'm doing what I'm doing." And it's funny that you started off with leads door to door, right? And then here you are again doing leads, sales, all the things, because regardless of whatever business you're in, right, you're going to have to do this aspect of a business. This just happened to be the core of what you decided you wanted to do and what it's done. And to be able to sit there that one fateful day and to open, you know, open up your bank account and see that and know that you told your mom that's what you were going to do and you did it. And all the world starts to look a little different, I imagine, from that moment you were talking about, which I'll never forget when you shared with me, when you were sitting there with an itchy blanket on your neck. And, you know, looking at your family and just wondering, "Why us? Why is this happening?" Instead of doing that, you said, "I'm going to change this." And you did. Yeah. Again, there's this theme of this drive, this, like you said, even whoever you were, it wasn't where you wanted to be. It wasn't who you wanted to be. You were going to continue to evolve until you became that kid you envied in school or whatever it was. And you did. You started wearing all white. You know what I mean? Even a cap to match. No, man, this is the power of entrepreneurship, but it's also the qualities that are required and the sacrifice. Really, doesn't sound like you partied too much. Sure, you partied a little, everyone will, but it's not like you spent all your time there. There's no way you would have made a million if all you did was party.
Yeah. The partying definitely came after, I'll tell you that. So we can go into that if you like. There was definitely a downward spiral.
Oh, really?
A downward spiral that came for sure. But I remember sending money back to my mum, and my mum got a house. My mum set up her first ever business called Bieber Lives, and she got a shop in Camden Market, and she started to live the life of her dreams, which was amazing. I was overseas living the high life, and something I'd like to share with people, because people have a fear of failure and a fear of success. And in my early 20s, even though I then hit that level and had this huge company, there was still something inside of me. I didn't quite know how to handle it. And I also didn't quite think I was worthy of it. And in some respects, I was a bit ashamed of it. Like I didn't know how to allow myself to be successful. It's really weird to explain. Hopefully I'm explaining it correctly, but I just had this internal battle. I almost felt, you know, embarrassed that I was so successful. I don't feel like that today, because it's an inward job, right? Yeah, you could have all the money, but if you're not working on yourself from the inside, then you can never truly be fulfilled. And I've done that whole journey working on myself and spirituality and mindset. So it's important, I believe, that you, as much as you want to be a huge business owner and be super successful, you've got to work around the mindset of success and the mindset of money. Because if you don't, you potentially could sabotage it. And I started to go down the wrong path. I started to take a lot of drugs. I started to drink a lot. I started to blow money up the wall. Like at that early age in my mid-20s, I didn't really understand investing and compounding and getting my money working for me. And what a lot of people do, Philip, I'm sure you've seen it, they make money and spend money.
Yeah.
The more you make, the more you spend. And you think it's going to be there forever in a day. And that was a vicious cycle that I was in. And fast forward a couple of years later, I end up in a couple of rehab centers. And then I go through this whole thing of recovery and the 12 steps. And hey, just back in September 25th, just gone, I actually just celebrated 10 years, no alcohol and no cocaine.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty cool.
Man, what a congratulations, because you're right. Sometimes the worst thing that can happen to someone is all their dreams come true and then they don't know what to make of that. Right. Which I imagine is what might've sparked it, is the fact that like you had such an ambitious goal and it seemed like it would take your life to do it. And then there you are, 23 or so. Right. And here you are, you reached your life ambition that had to have crept into your mind somewhere deep in the back of it going, well, what are you going to do now? Are you sure you're really a millionaire? And all those things start come crashing down. And I'm 100% aware of self-sabotage. I'm still working through that myself. And so it's a powerful place to be, but it's also a very dangerous place to be if you're not ready for it. Right. And clearly you skipped over a lot of details because you spared us that, but I imagine it was not easy. And when you finally came around it, do you think you understand what it was that really turned it around for you? Was it the spirituality? Was it just a culmination of all those things? Or was it a reminder of something that you thought back to?
Yeah, I got to a place, a very dark place. I had all the money, great business. But the reality was I was spiritually sick. I was suffering with an illness of addiction. I didn't know how to live properly without some type of chemical. I didn't really know how to have deep, meaningful relationships with people because I didn't know how to have a relationship with myself. And the bottom line is most addicts and alcoholics don't make it. The statistics are against us. But I was very fortunate that something intervened and I had this moment. After going into a couple of treatment centers and getting clean and then using and getting clean and then using, it was this vicious cycle for quite a few years. But on September 25th, 2011, I'm in one of my flats in Marbella. It's 6:30 in the morning. And if you can just imagine this, that the sun's already quite high in the sky. I'm in a room. The curtains are slightly ajar. The sun's beaming in. There's dust particles, almost something out of a horror movie. And there I am on my knees, like a wounded animal that had been speared. And I have a vision And at the time, it was my little boy, Charlie, and it was my little girl, Ida. And they screamed at me, "Dad, Dad, please don't die. Stop using drugs." And in that moment, I went straight back to being that 20-year-old in my white Air Max Reebok tracksuit and my cap full of beans. And in that moment, I said to myself, this is not my time to die. And I'd been in this position hundreds of times, but there was something different. It was like something had snapped. And I thought, this is not my time to die. I've got to get out of my own way here. Like, my way is not working. I've run out of options. And I did something that morning, which I'd never done in my life before, Philip. I called a friend of mine called Will, who was part of Alcoholics Anonymous and Cocaine Anonymous. And he'd been reaching out to me for a number of years. And I kept pushing him back. I don't need any help. I'm fine. Look at me in my big house and my big business. I'm fine. And I called him sobbing like a baby saying, I need help. And he said to me exactly these words. He said, Liam, if you do exactly what I tell you to do, step by step, you will never have to drink alcohol and take cocaine ever again in your life. Are you ready to do the work? I said, I'm ready. He said, meet me tomorrow, 10:30 at a coffee shop, and we're going to start a journey of recovery. I said, brilliant. So I met him at 10:30. He gave me the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and an orange Bic highlighter. I've still got them today. And we started to go through the steps. And I started to go to meetings. I started to eat. I started to love myself. I started to listen to the birds and look at the sunshine and build relationships. And hey, a day turned into a week turned into a year has recently turned into 10 years. So it was really through that process that's then led me on to this part of my life, because I truly believe true fulfillment isn't about how much money you've got in the bank or how many businesses you have. I've had all of that and I've still been deeply unhappy because I was unhappy with myself. You can still have all of that. And if you're happy with yourself, you can then be of good service to other people. So I believe, and hopefully viewers tuning in, that, you know, really true fulfillment comes from the amount of people you serve. And through that recovery process, my entire life started to be, my entire life and focus became about other people. Initially helping other people in recovery. So I became a sponsor. And then that's now led on to mentorship and running a training company and doing all the things we do in our business.
Powerful, powerful. And I'm so grateful and humble that you shared that, you know, that those aren't the easiest things to talk about, to share, to relive. And it makes me reflect even on my own choices in life and what I want to do. You know, no one can listen to that and the way that you shared it and not walk away going, yeah, at some point you got to get real with yourself and where you are. And, you know, for someone who's never had the money and they're currently struggling, they'll always be like, oh yeah, but you had money. Like, they'll always find a way to discount something, right? I'm like trying to think ahead as a listener, but yeah. I imagine like people are all betting on that money is going to solve their problems. Although, especially the ones that don't have it, right? You were working towards that because you said this is going to solve all the problems I ever had, only to find that it magnified the real problem you had.
Yeah. So true. So true. Yeah. So yeah, but a lot of people focus on the money, think that that's going to fix them. It doesn't. Like, it's good to have money and that's wonderful. But if you're not good with yourself from an internal standpoint, it could just make things a lot worse.
Yeah, no kidding. And at some point you started a training company now. What is it called?
Yeah, so my training company with my business partner is called Assets for Life. We're in our seventh year now. I started as a, you know, property investor. I've done property for 20 years. First time round, made every mistake in the book, lost over 2 million euros, bought everything I shouldn't have bought. Thought I could listen to a few podcasts, not podcasts back then, sort of YouTube videos, watch a couple of TV programs and read some books, and thought, hey, man, I'm going to become a property investor. Bought overseas, off plan, new builds, got sold to by really hot, sexy estate agents on the Costa del Sol in Spain, you know, bought at the wrong time, didn't man. It was a like everything that could have gone wrong first time around as a property investor definitely went wrong.
Oh, man.
So, and at the time that was quite painful. However, when I moved back to the UK in 2014, I set up a renewable energy business, and that was really quite good. And then had to run that down because of a government change in renewable energy and tariffs, and wasn't scalable or sustainable. But through that process, I met who is now my business partner. He was one of my customers, and I always knew I wanted to get back into property. It wasn't that the game was wrong before, it's just that the player wasn't playing it right.
Yeah.
You know, how ignorant was I to think I could do that with no real education or support or guidance? So Jay Munoz, we call him the Essex Colombian because he's from Colombia, but obviously lives here in Essex.
Hey.
And he's a chartered civil engineer. He's the numbers guy. And when I first met Jay and I sold him solar panels, there was just this instant connection. And he started to tell me his story, and he's worked with some of the biggest builds in London. He loves project management, like loves a spreadsheet. I thought, man, this guy loves all the stuff that I'm no good at. And I think this could be a good fit, right? And we just started to explore. And I knew I wanted to get back into property, but I didn't know how. And the conversation came up about us maybe becoming business partners. So we hung out for a while. We made sure our values and visions were aligned. Made sure we actually liked each other, and we believed that we could work together long term. And then I said, look, what have we got to do, Jay, to go to the next level? Like, how can we accelerate fast? I said, because I've made some money in property, I've lost some money in property, I want us to do it the right way. And even Jay was very experienced. I could see he was spinning all the plates himself. He still very much had an employee mentality because he was in the corporate world pretty much all his life, trying to be the manager of the manager of the manager. And then going from corporate life into entrepreneur life can be quite a challenge for people, right?
Yeah.
Because now you've got to keep yourself motivated. Now you've got to look to build a team. Now it's like on your own shoulders. And actually, Jay was more lonely than when he had a job. He was spinning all the plates. So it was just the perfect fit for both of us. So we decided to become business partners. We're in our seventh year. And then what happened? Jay said, look, we need to go and get a mentor. We need advanced training. I was like, well, how the hell do we do that? He said, look, I'm part of the UK's largest property training company, and they run these events in London, and you should go. And I was like, what sort of events are this? Have I got to like hug people? And am I going to get to dance? And I'm going to have to do some high fives? He said, look, you might have to, but keep an open mind. I said, you know what? I'll keep an open mind, right? And if anyone can take anything from this session today, it's like that word is so powerful. Keep an open mind. Because I'm sometimes, and maybe people can relate to this, I'm sometimes my own worst enemy. Anyway, there I was, Philip, going into London, really quite scared, nervous, and skeptical. I turn up at this hotel event, and there's like 400 people in this room.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, oh, my goodness. So here's what happens, right? At the start of the event, I'm at the back of the room with my arms folded, thinking, what the hell am I doing here? As the day progressed, I really start to tune into the speakers and what they were teaching. And I was like, okay, this is making a bit of sense now. By the end of the day, I'm on the front bloody row, waving my arms around. And then what happened is they made this offer. It was £25,000 to be mentored and to go on some advanced training. And I was like, I ain't got 25 grand. And I just sank in my seat. But then I thought, in for a penny, in for a pound. And and I had some access to some credit and, you know, I had a bit of cash available. And I thought, you know what, in for a penny, in for a pound. And I got off my seat and got back on my seat. I got off my seat, got back on my seat. And I said to myself, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out with a bang. This feels right. And I got off my seat, Philip. I ran to the back of the room. I said, look, I could probably get half down on these two cards. Like, just try them and we'll figure out. I'll speak to my business partner. He'll have to just come up with the other half. And that was my first experience of investing in training and mentoring.
Wow.
And look, in that moment, yeah, I was crapping my pants. And I thought, I'm not going to tell Holly just yet, because Holly's my partner, right? I thought she'll just talk me out of it. I'm just going to crack on. And we went on advanced training. We started this mentoring. And man, within 30 days, I got my first property deal, like doing it the right way.
Wow.
And then I got my first ever joint venture partner. So I was raising money from other people. And then I started to buy property using none of my own money. And then I got my second deal. Then I got my third deal, December 25th, 2015, Christmas Day. I'm sitting in my dinner table with Holly, my kids, my family, with the biggest smile on my face, thinking I've bounced back. I'm in the right place. And then what happened, we started doing more deals. And then me and Jay sat down one day and I said, Jay, like, we need to go and help other people do this. Like, it is my purpose, because it was only a few months ago, I'd lost my business. I'd run out of money. I found myself in a sticky situation due to this government change. And I said, we can go and help people do this. And we started to, I trained as a public speaker. I started to go around the whole of the UK. I made some sacrifices. I said, Holly, you're going to have to bear with me, babes. And I would travel literally 5, 6, 7 hours to go and speak at a networking event with sometimes just 5 people. But you know what? It was like I was knocking on doors again, like I was 15 years of age.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is just a pure numbers game. I've got to earn my stripes. And it's going to take time to build our brand, get our message out there. But it was almost like I found my purpose in life. It was such a weird feeling. And we started our training company. And I ran my first ever training event on May 28, 2016, at the Holiday Inn in Stratford, which is in East London, to 22 people that all paid £47 to be there. And we kickstarted our mentorship mastermind program. And out of those 21 people, 12 people joined us and they paid their yearly fee. And fast forward, you know, the amount of time we're actually now, Philip, the UK's premier property, business and wealth training company. We have 7 different verticals that we train. I've got different business partners, some of the world's best experts when it comes to stock market and Forex investing. We offer different property vertical training, from developments to deal packaging to high cash flowing assets. I run a speaker training, a sales training, a business and marketing training. So yeah, it just goes to show. And yeah, we're now, you know, I love what I do. And for me, it's, I'm sure when you do these episodes and you work with people within your network, you know, when I get to work with someone that at that moment is feeling hopeless, like they can't move forward and they don't know which way to turn. And then they come into my training and mentoring program, and a year later, they're generating over £100,000 a year and they're feeling good and they've got great relationships and they're loving their kids and, you know, they're fit and healthy and energetic. And, oh man, you know, that's what does it for me.
Wow. I mean, the true essence of this entire story is, as you said, you know, in for a penny, in for a pound from the beginning,
yeah.
From the very beginning, from that day that you saw the yellow sign on the window and you were on your way to making a decision whether or not to stay in college. And you said, you know, this doesn't make any sense numerically. And sure, it was a journey of ups and downs. And just when you thought you were getting back to it and you were getting to a place where things were going to be good, the government changes. And again, it's out of your hands. Anytime things were out of your hands, you found a way. And even more important, you knew when to let go of your ego. That time when you said, you know, my way isn't working anymore. You know, I've got to find help. And that opened up. The minute you opened up to receiving help from others, it seems like then life opened up where you could begin to help others, right? Because somehow that seemed to open up and really put you along a path of meeting a partner who was literally the exact opposite of you. And somehow you then end up at a training where, while there was a lot of resistance, eventually you decided to go all in, put all the chips on the table and said, let's go. And it paid off. It paid for itself, it sounds like, in more ways than just financially. It gave you a new place to invest in as a labor of life for you, of love, of this is what you do now. And you help people do this. And it's called Assets for Life, right? So I got to roll out the red carpet for you, man, for all that you shared. Where should people be going to connect with you to learn more about what it is you do and to stay in touch?
Yeah, great. So they can check me out on my Instagram handle, Liam J. Ryan Wealth. So hook me up on Instagram. You can get me on Facebook, again, Liam J. Ryan. You can get to www.assetsforlife.co.uk. We've got loads of resources on there. At YouTube, just put in Assets for Life and that will come up as well. So we're pretty much all over on the socials, you know, giving out loads of great content on a daily basis. I love creating content, and you don't know who's watching, you don't know who's listening, and yeah, just got to keep doing it.
Ah, man, what an epic conversation. And the way I usually close things out is something, and I know we're running tight on time here, and that is, if you could have invited anybody, dead or alive, to have sat here with us in an additional chair right next to us today, who would it have been and why?
Yeah, so one of my heroes who I followed for many, many years is Mr. Richard Branson.
Hey.
So if I could have him sitting here now to share some of his pearls of wisdom, he's had more failed businesses than successful businesses. People know me as Liam Ryan, the deal maker, because I like to make deals and connect people. I don't really get too involved with the nitty gritty. I sort of just do a deal and move on to the next one. Great at building teams. And that's very much like Richard Branson. You know, he's built teams all around the world, multi-billion dollar companies. So it would be an honor to have him here right now.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. The more and more I hear about him and more I hear about stories like yours, the more I realize exactly what it takes to be successful in the way that everyone is trying to traditionally say they want to be successful. Are you ready to go through it? Because this is a perfect example of what it really takes. Liam, I'm very grateful for you opening up your heart to me, teaching me about keeping an open mind to things, you know, about the grit that's required. And I can't thank you enough. I'm so happy we met. I'll be connecting with you again, assetsforlife.co.uk, for anyone looking to learn more about what it is that changed your life towards the end of it all. And really the start of it all, right? Because you're just getting started here. But with that said, thank you so much for stopping by.
Amazing. Yeah, thanks for having me, and wishing all the viewers and listeners all the best. If I can do it, you can definitely do it. And I hope to tune in again in the future.
You're listening to the Dealmaker Podcast, hosted by multi-millionaire property investor, entrepreneur, and Guinness World Record holder, Liam Ryan. Discover how to start, scale, and grow your business. Become a better negotiator, create more opportunity, and make massive profit so you can live the life of your dreams.